You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday the 19th of October 2022 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, we've got a very gruesome subject to talk about today and I don't really like covering these news stories because people get very emotional about them. They're quite horrible, these crimes that are carried out against our most vulnerable in society, and when we do talk about them, we have to remember that the people that are to blame for these things are the government, not the people groups themselves. And I'm talking about black and white crime, basically, or basically immigrant crime against the indigenous peoples of the countries of Europe. And of course, it's not all the immigrants that are like this. It's only a small portion of them that are. But the fact of the matter is, if they were not in our countries, those crimes could not take place. And the only reason why they are in our countries is because of our government's policies. I'm particularly talking about this one today. This has happened in France. A 12-year-old girl has been brutally raped and murdered by Algerian migrants, and her picture is all over the internet. There's lots of protests and memorials that are taking place in France, and this is receiving mainstream coverage because it is such a horrific murder. But in actual fact, according to political commentator Eva Vlaardinger-Brook, she says this is actually the 12th girl in France this year who has been killed by an immigrant, and that's just in France. And she said that on GB News earlier this week. Of course, in Britain, we had Emily Jones, a lovely, sweet young white girl. I think she was about 7 years old, brutally murdered on Mother's Day in front of her mother by an Albanian national. And again, that's not because all Albanians are murderers. It's because a small portion of them are, and because our government have allowed them to come into our country. That girl, Emily Jones, would still be alive today if it wasn't for the government's immigration policy. So let's take a closer look at what has happened here in France. Two Algerian migrants have been indicted for the rape, torture and murder of a 12-year-old girl named Lola, who was discovered dead on Friday in the courtyard of the building where she lived, and she was actually found in a suitcase. And we've had instances of this before. I think it was in Italy. There was a woman that was found chopped up in a suitcase, and she was a drug addict, and the black migrants she had been buying the drugs from had chopped her up and put her in a suitcase. And again, this was a highly publicized, and there was a big movement against migration that was formed because of this in Italy. And I think somebody went out, a vigilante actually went out and tried to carry out some vigilante justice, which, of course, we condemn here at Radio Albion. Taking the law into your own hands is always wrong. What we should be doing is petitioning the government to do something about this, putting pressure on the government to change their policy and highlighting these negative effects that come from the government's migration policy. If you look at Liz Truss, she wants to open up more migration to because she thinks it's going to help the economy. And there's no mention being made of the crimes that will take place because of that, that would not have been able to take place if she hadn't opened up the borders and invited more migration into the country. Getting back to France here, the body of 12-year-old Lola Davier was found at around 11:20 p.m. on Friday after her parents had reported her missing to the police In the afternoon, when Lola had not returned from school to her home in the 19th arrondissement of Paris. And according to the video, you can see the video. She actually went into the apartment block where she lived, and her murderer also lived in the apartment block. So she went to the murderer's room with them, I think, possibly believing that that she was safe with them because they lived in the same apartment block as her. A passerby discovered Lola in an abandoned packing case in the courtyard of the apartment complex where she lived, with the child showing a deep wound on her neck and her body marked with some sort of inscriptions, La Parisienne reports. And there have also been reports saying that this may have had something to do with organ harvesting, in which case, that is really quite alarming, because if it has been organ harvesting, then those organs will have been meant probably for a white child. I don't think you could give them to a white adult, but they would certainly have to be a white person that was going to get those organs, because your body will only accept an organ from somebody who is close to you, somebody who is the same ethnicity as you are. If you try to put white organs, for instance, into a black or a Chinese body, the body is going to reject them. So it's quite alarming that if this was organ harvesting, it would have gone to a white child. Investigators say Lola died of asphyxiation, but also believe she had been raped and tortured prior to her death. A 12-year-old girl tortured. Two men and two women, all Algerian nationals and aged between 24 and 43, were later arrested over the weekend, with the two women said to be sisters. And this is probably why Lola trusted the person she was with, because she probably thought, well, this is a woman, this isn't a man. She was not expecting to be raped and tortured, of course. And this Algerian woman had apparently been boasting about how she was involved in organ sales. And apparently she was also behaving very, very nervously after this. People thought she might have a mental problem. So, of course, that's what they're saying here. That will be what their defence is that the person had a mental problem. But even if it was a mental problem, why have we got people with mental problems from other people groups in our countries? Again, this child would still be alive if it wasn't for France's migration policy. On Monday, two of the suspects were released from custody, while the remaining two, a woman named Darbia B and an unnamed 43-year-old man, were remanded into pre-trial detention and indicted for the murder of a child under 15, rape of a child, as well as charges of torture and barbarism and concealment of a corpse, according to the Paris prosecutor's office. Georges Brassens College, where Lola attended school, is now implementing a policy to make sure all students are not unaccompanied, with one parent commenting, "We are sad this morning. My daughter cried and didn't sleep all night. She knew Lola and had gone to her house several times for birthdays." And the effect that this will have on the school is horrific. And as pointed out at the beginning here, this is the 12th murder of French girls just to happen this year. And this sort of thing is happening in all the multicultural countries now. The father said, "There is no trust in the neighbourhood anymore. My wife or I, we will be there present every morning and every evening." The parent added, and that's what happens when you have multiculturalism, that the trust in the neighbourhood disappears. And I'm referring here to a study that was carried out by the UN. It's called The Downside of Diversity. And over a period of time, it was the largest study that's ever been done into diversity and multiculturalism. And the conclusion was that people just didn't trust anyone anymore. And not just not trusting people of different ethnicities, they didn't trust people of their own ethnicity anymore. And all the desire to be communal and to help the community just disappears, and people just want to stay at home watching the television. So this commenter here, he says that there is no trust in the neighbourhood anymore. People reading that are probably going to think, well, that's after this murder. Nobody's going to trust anyone anymore. But it will have been like that before this murder actually took place. According to a report from broadcaster TF1, 24-year-old Darbia B, who is an illegal immigrant, is said to have initially confessed to the murder of the 12-year-old, giving detailed descriptions of what took place on Friday, but later changed her story, denying involvement in the young girl's death. So not just somebody that came in because of the government's migration policy, but somebody that actually came into the country illegally. She broke into the country and then raped and murdered one of the children of the indigenous people of that country. I mean, how much hatred must you have for the people that your hosts, basically, to then go out and murder one of their children? She is set to be subjected to a psychiatric examination in the coming weeks. There is some suggestion that the alleged killer is psychologically unstable, but there is currently no publicly available evidence. The 24-year-old was mentally incapacitated at the time of the alleged murder. The 43-year-old man, meanwhile, has denied any involvement in the death of the 12-year-old. And remember, there was four of them that were arrested at first. The case is just the latest to see a young girl in Europe brutally murdered by migrants in the years following the migrant crisis. Last year, a similar case took place in Vienna, Austria, that saw a 13-year-old girl named Leonie drugged, raped, and murdered by a group of Afghan migrants, one of which fled the country and was later arrested in the UK. And I remember there was all this talk about, oh, we have to allow these Afghan refugees into the country because the Taliban are taking over. Well, the result of that was this young girl was drugged, raped, and murdered. Surely we should be putting our own people first, not putting other people groups first from the other side of the world. And again, it's not all Afghan migrants that are like this, but there are a certain number of them that are. And we have enough problems dealing with our own murderers within our own ethnic group without having to deal with murderers and rapists from other ethnic groups in our own homelands. Three of the four Afghan migrants suspected of raping and murdering the 13-year-old Austrian girl had their asylum claims declined, but due to appeal proceedings, they were not deported. Again, so these people should not have even been there. Their asylum claims, they were told, your asylum claims do not have any validity, but Austria did not get rid of them. And we just heard the other day about how Britain is now accepting more asylum seekers than pretty much any other country in Europe, more asylum seekers than Sweden and Germany. So how long will it be until we hear of asylum seeker in Britain doing something similar? Four Afghan asylum seekers are suspected of drugging, raping, and murdering 13-year-old Leonie in Vienna. Police arrested three suspects, aged 16, 18, and 23, while a fourth suspect, aged 22, remains at large and subject of a Europe-wide arrest warrant. And I think the one that remained at large, he was the one that actually ended up in Britain, and we'll get to that part of the story in a minute. The body of the teen was found on Saturday, June 26th, 2021, and the three arrests were carried out a short time later, with the third migrant being apprehended on the Thursday. The wanted 22-year-old has been on trial three times before this alleged involvement in the teen's murder. He had been convicted of drug crimes and reported for drug trafficking, theft, and bodily injury. So not only was this guy not even supposed to be there, his asylum claim had been declined, but he had also actually been convicted of crimes and reported for other crimes, and yet he was still there in Austria. According to a report from Kronen Zeitung, the migrant came to Austria in 2015 as an unaccompanied minor and applied for asylum. His claim was rejected in 2017 and he was ordered to leave the country. And we hear all these calls for allowing these unaccompanied minors into Britain. And most of the time, these unaccompanied minors are actually adults. I think it was something like 80% of them were found to be adults in one study that was carried out. It was either in France or Sweden. In July, it was revealed that three of the Afghans would not face murder charges, although the existing charges against them could see them still face between 20 years and life in prison. And that's for drugging a 13-year-old girl, raping her, and murdering her. The Afghan national, however, appealed the deportation order, and despite committing crimes in the following years, was not removed. The 18-year-old suspect has had his subsidiary protection revoked, but appealed the decision in November 2019, and the case had yet to be resolved. So he was just let out on the streets. Some have also questioned whether the Afghan is actually 18, with speculation in Austria's establishment press that he may be as old as 30. And this is another of these issues with these unaccompanied migrants that are much older than they claim to be. They end up being put in the schools with the 15, 16-year-olds, which gives them access to young teens. And if the one that's been put in there has a propensity for rape and murder, it's basically just tempting him there by introducing him to all these children. We know what some of these people are like. They go after the youngest members of our society, the weakest members of our society, and our government literally puts them in a classroom full of them because they're too frightened to say to them, no, you are over 18. You are obviously over 18. We know that if it looks like they're just a few years older than 16, they will still accept the fact that they are 16. They won't actually do dental tests on them because they say that breaks their human rights. The 23-year-old suspect is said to have also filed for asylum during the height of the migrant crisis in 2015. He received a negative decision in February 2018, and the Austrian Federal Office for Immigration and Asylum issued a deportation order. He also filed an appeal to the deportation order with the Federal Administrative Court in March 2018, despite receiving a sentence of 2 years for bodily injury and sexual coercion. In May 2020, he was also not deported. Now think about this. It says he filed an appeal for the deportation order. So he did that appeal, did he? Of course he didn't do the appeal. He was given legal aid, and an Austrian lawyer carried out that appeal for him. He should have just been deported straight away in the first instance when he broke into the country and claimed to be under 16 when he quite clearly was about 30. The Federal Administrative Court has not disputed large delays in processing failed asylum cases, claiming that in 2019, 80% of the procedures before the court, 40,000 in total, were asylum claims. So the Austrian Administrative Court is collapsing under the number of these asylum claims. Meanwhile, police interrogated the 16-year-old suspect, who admitted that he had brought the 13-year-old victim to a friend's apartment in the Vienna area of Donnerstadt and claimed he and the teen had been given drinks spiked with drugs. He told police that he had passed out and not witnessed the sexual assault. And that is the main suspect here. He's claiming that he was also drugged. The 13-year-old was later found dead, her body slumped against a tree near the area of the apartment where she had allegedly been raped and murdered. And again, this was a highly publicised, emotive case, and it would not have been able to happen if the Austrian government had not allowed these people into the country in the first place. Moving to January this year, we then catch up with the fourth migrant involved in this gang rape of a 13-year-old. A Channel migrant who drugged and raped a 13-year-old girl before killing her has tried to use a legal technicality to stay in the UK, a court heard, and this is back in January this year. Afghan-born Razuili Zabudallah, 23, is accused of drugging and raping teenager Leonie Wallner, whose body was found rolled up in a carpet in the Austrian capital of Vienna last June. So we find out more about this now. We were told her body was slumped against a tree, and now we learn that she had actually been rolled up in a carpet. So it wasn't like she just staggered outside and died leaning against a tree. Leonie met Zubidula and one of his accomplices at the Danube Canal Vienna on June 25th last year. The three took ecstasy and went back to Zabidula's apartment in Donnerstadt in Vienna's 22nd district, where they were joined by two other men, 18 and 23. The men allegedly gave the schoolgirl more drugs to make her compliant before brutally raping her and rolling her body up in a carpet. She was then dumped on the street about 100 metres from Zubidala's apartment, and extradition hearing at Westminster Magistrates Court heard. And it seems that they were actually boasting about doing this. This is how they were caught. So this idea that the one that did this, he was also drugged at the time, that's false, because they were bragging about this. Australian police arrested the other three men, also immigrants, after they allegedly boasted to a friend about having wild sex with a young girl. The friend immediately reported the crime to the police. So, you know, this is the point here. They're not all like this. There are ones among them that will contact the police if they hear that something like this has gone on. So we cannot just blame all these people for the crimes of the few of them, but we certainly can blame the government for opening up the borders and allowing these people in and not taking these crimes into account when they talk about the positive things that migration can bring. Like, as I say, about Liz Truss thinking that it's going to improve the economy. How about all the crimes that it's also going to bring with it? Zabidullah then boarded a boatload of refugees and claimed asylum in Britain. He provided authorities in Kent with a fake name on July 18th last year after he successfully crossed the Channel. The court heard. And remember, we were hearing about this fake asylum claim of this other one in Austria. Now we have this murder, rape carried out in Austria, and he comes straight to Britain and claims asylum again and says, oh, I'm running away from Afghanistan or Syria or wherever, because, of course, he won't have any papers with him. He would have thrown his papers away. That's what they do. And they say, well, we don't actually have a passport. And I'm 15 or 16 years old. That's all I am. That's what they will tell the authorities. He was arrested on July 29th at an Ibis hotel after an international arrest warrant was issued. He was living at a taxpayer-funded hostel in Whitechapel, East London, for 2 weeks before his arrest. So at least he was being put up in a hostel instead of being put up in a hotel, like the rest of them are nowadays. At a hearing, his lawyer Ben Keith objected to his extradition under Section 12A of the Extradition Act by claiming that Zubaydullah had not actually been charged or tried in Austria. He was arrested by officers from the National Extradition Unit on July 29th. It was initially believed he had made his way to Italy before it became clear he had snuck into the UK. He spoke through a Farsi interpreter and was flanked by one dock officer and stood maskless, because remember, this is back in the time of COVID, as the case against him involving one charge of rape and another of severe sexual abuse against a person under 14 was laid out. But his lawyer, Ben Keith, objected to extradition, claiming the Austrian authorities had not yet decided to charge Zubaydullah. He said the issue is whether this case is in fact going to proceed to prosecution and whether this defendant is going to be prosecuted. The court could request further information, or it could discharge this case. We say the fact the Austrian authorities have tried to interview this defendant is evidence that the reason they have not progressed this far is not because the defendant is not in the country, but because he is still at the investigation stage. There is enough information to show that no decision has been made to charge him. So they tried to prevent him from actually going back to Austria just by saying that, well, he hasn't actually been charged. They're just investigating him. So the legal system in Britain, representatives of the legal system in Britain, tried to keep him here when he was an illegal asylum claim. He should never have been in the country in the first place. The case has raised concerns that checks on Afghan refugees coming into the UK are not strict enough at a time when border crossings have reached record highs. And again, this is earlier this year. This was in January this year. Just think about the record highs that we're at now. We're already at far more people breaking into the country than did last year. If we go later on this year to July, a 35-year-old Syrian national was arrested this week for the murder of a 17-year-old German girl, whose body was discovered by police 5 days after she had been reported missing. The family of 17-year-old Tabitha E. reported her disappearance from her home in the town of Asperg, and last Friday, police began an intensive search for the missing teenager with dogs, drones and helicopters, only to find her body over the weekend by a local sewage treatment plant just miles from her home. And all these bodies being found very, very near to where these people live. So it's likely that these murderers, the people that actually murdered them, were known to them. These victims probably used to see, you know, these Syrians or these Afghans around. Maybe they've spoken to them a few times. They've been told at school that diversity is a wonderful thing, and that everybody is all equal. And it's just because these people are oppressed is the reason why, you know, they carry out more crime. And of course, that lulls them into a false sense of security, because instead of warning them and saying, well, these people actually have a higher rate of sex crimes and there is a likelihood that they may well be criminals amongst them, because the criminals won't be wanted within their own country. You know, if these criminal types cause lots of problems within their own home country, the people there aren't going to want them, and they're going to move to another country where they can carry on carrying out their crimes because they're not wanted in their own country. And in actual fact, when people claim asylum, they're actually claiming asylum, that they're saying, I am being persecuted by the authorities in my homeland. And that's exactly what's happening to these criminals, isn't it? If they were doing this in their own home countries, they would be locked up. So they run away from the mess they've created in their own country, and they throw away their documents, and then they come into our countries and carry on doing the same, and our government does nothing about it. Police became suspicious of the 35-year-old Syrian living in the region, and not only searched his apartment, but also confiscated his vehicle as part of the investigation and took him into custody in connection with the murder, Bild reports. Investigators believe the vehicle is connected to the disappearance and subsequent alleged murder of the teenager, and note that the Syrian national had been silent while in custody, but did not say whether or not he has a prior criminal background. An autopsy was carried out and there was no evidence of sexual crime, but there were various indications of violence. And here we have it. The victim is also alleged to have known the Syrian suspect, according to a neighbour of the 35-year-old, and the teen is said to have visited his home often. This has been going on for a year. We thought the Syrian was much younger, especially since he had young people with him again and again in the past. On Saturday, he was taken away by the police, and we thought it was a drug story because it had always smelled so weird from its open windows, the neighbour said. So again, you have a migrant hanging around with young children. The alleged murder would just be the latest to involve a migrant in Germany killing a teenage girl, with the most well-known case being that of teen Maria Leidenberger, who was raped and killed in 2016 by an Afghan migrant who claimed to be underage, but was really an adult. So this is the common thread that we see through this. It's these unaccompanied migrants, unaccompanied minors, claiming to be minors who are not actually minors. Now, to finish up, we have another one here. From 2020, a German federal court said on Tuesday it has thrown out a rejected Iraqi asylum seeker's appeal against his conviction for raping and murdering a 14-year-old local girl. So another asylum seeker, Ali Bashar, was sentenced to life in prison by the Wiesbaden State Court in July following a four-month trial in a case that fueled tensions over migration. The court ruled there was a particular severity of guilt, meaning that he likely won't be released after 15 years, as is common in Germany. Bashar, who was 21 at the time of the killing, was convicted of assaulting and murdering Susanna Feltman in Wiesbaden in May 2018. He and his family abruptly left the home for asylum applicants in Germany after the killing, and he was later arrested by Kurdish forces in Iraq, handed over to German police officers, and flown back to Germany, and is believed to have arrived in Germany originally in October 2015. The Federal Court of Justice said it threw out Bashar's appeal in an April 28th ruling. Among other objections to his conviction, he had argued that his return from Iraq constituted a procedural impediment. So he was being given legal help to challenge this and to say that he should never have actually been taken back from Iraq to face justice for murdering a 14-year-old local girl. So we see that what was said here at the beginning by this Eva Vladingerbroek, who is Dutch, and said that this is just the 12th girl in France this year who's been killed by an immigrant, and that's just France. We can see that there are also other ones happening in Germany, in Austria, in Britain, with Emily Jones, who was killed by the Albanian national. I mean, you have all these murders, all these rapes that are going on. In this case, you have this girl that's actually been chopped up and mutilated. There could also have been organ harvesting that's gone on here. None of these crimes could have happened if the governments of Europe had sensible migration policies. If they had sensible migration policies and did not allow in illegal immigrants and made it very difficult for people of other races to actually come into Europe, you wouldn't see these crimes taking place. You very rarely hear of a violent sex crime taking place that has been carried out by the director of a company, by a foreign businessman or anything like that. You only ever hear about it coming from these asylum seekers or gangs, the sort of people that you just wouldn't want in your countries in the first place. If they had sensible migration policies, of course, they would allow in the business owners, the directors of companies, the doctors, scientists, people with high IQ, the sort of people that are not likely to be carrying out these crimes and would actually be of some benefit to the country. But that isn't what's going on. We've got Liz Truss talking about she wants to allow in more unskilled workers, wants to just basically open up the borders to everyone, which is what's happened in Sweden. It's what's happened in Germany. And we've seen these massive increases in these horrific crimes that are taking place in these countries. And it's all down to the government's immigration policy. It's all down to this idea that we should be multicultural and that diversity is a strength. And of course, if you point these things out and if you criticize the government's policy, then our opponents will tell us that we're racist, we're trying to incite hate. And it couldn't be further from the truth. We're not trying to incite hate against anyone. We're trying to encourage positive change at the government level. And I'm talking about this today because this is very big news in France. And also amongst the nationalist community, lots of images of this young girl, Lola, are being put out there. And we mustn't forget that the people that are to blame for this are not the migrants. It's the government for opening up the borders and allowing the migrants in. We cannot blame the whole group for this, but we can certainly blame the whole group of politicians, because they are all doing the same thing. If you look at the Conservative Party and the Labour Party, they are all pro migration. And we are probably the only country in Europe now that doesn't actually have a far right party that is taking part in government in some way. We don't actually have a party that's doing that. So we can quite clearly say in Britain that the whole of the political establishment is responsible for these crimes that are carried out by migrants. All crimes that are carried out by migrants are the fault of the government for their migration policy. And again, it's not all of them, of course, but it is a certain number of them that are carrying out these crimes, and they would not have been able to take place if it wasn't for the government's immigration policy. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.